From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you. I'm joined in studio by Berga Alden. She's the Community Relations Manager for the New Mexico Dream Center. And I got to give a warning right now, Berga. You're working in a ministry that's a tough subject.
It is.
Minor domestic sex trafficking. So if there's young ears, this is not the show that you want the young ears to be listening to. When, I mean, we're not going to be talking about sex and things, but we're going to talk about difficult subject. And we're going to start with the very fact that minor domestic sex trafficking is very prevalent, and we don't realize that, right?
Right. So I think what parents need to know, if we're kind of starting with that disclaimer about information that parents need to have for their younger children, is I may have said this last time, but COVID changed everything. During COVID, every child in America was handed a device that connected to the internet. Prior to COVID, we would hear about sex trafficking or those that would look to victimize children would be predominantly in person, right? It would be the scary van parked at the neighborhood park, or it would be somebody parked out in front of a school, or the person in a physical space that was eyes on a population looking for who maybe was the outlier. Everything has changed now that we have had all children go online. And so the pervasiveness of individuals that are looking to exploit children is skyrocketing, and parents need to be aware.
And a couple of the things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the prevalence of sex trafficking. We're going to talk about, you know, scary things like if you're a child and you're involved in foster care, you might feel safer living on the streets of Albuquerque than you do in foster care. Well, that's a whole nother subject.
It is indeed.
And so we're going to be talking about those kind of things today. But Birga, as the community relations manager, you're also conducting training. So a little bit later in the broadcast, I think in our third segment, we're going to talk about trainings that you offer to, say, school leaders, teachers, parents, et cetera, maybe to church groups.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important for people to know that you guys are providing us some resources. As we're talking today, you might want to go to nmdreamcenter.org and follow, just kind of review the website as we're talking today. The phone number, if you're interested in having that, is 505-900-3833. Or you can email the Dream Center at info@nmdreamcenter.org. Lots of great information. Of course, I've, you know, Shelly Rep, founder, I've known Shelly since she was 15 years old. So it's kind of interesting, you know, that she's now trying to teach 15-year-olds how to be aware and how to be on guard, because I think she would say, I've never asked her this, but I don't think she was aware of sex trafficking when she was 15 years old.
No, likely not. You know, she and I are a few years apart in age, but I mean, I remember in my elementary school years, and I grew up in Albuquerque, you know, this was not something that was taught. Maybe you got the stay away from the white van speech, you know, white van, but you didn't generally get information in elementary, middle school, high school about there are predators out there and here's what you need to be on the lookout for.
And can you do that if you age appropriate is a real real important term to use right now. You can do age-appropriate training without scaring kids, but making them aware.
Yes. You know, I don't want to derail your train of thought and the order that you want to ask questions in, but this is just so pertinent from a conversation I had earlier today with somebody who's got a 9-year-old who was playing chess online. And so the parent asked the child, hey, had you ever been contacted by somebody while you're playing chess? He goes, oh yeah, somebody's talked to me. And immediately, you know, kind of the hairs on the back of our neck start to spike when you think about a 9-year-old that's being approached by somebody online. Thankfully, in this case, it seemed to be fairly innocent, but traditionally, that's kind of how it starts, is very innocently. And so this gentleman who I was talking to, I gave him some tips and some pointers about, hey, if you see this progression, shut it down. But it's really hard to monitor chats all the time. It's very hard to say across the board, you cannot have any online connectivity, especially if school is connected to online accessibility. Mm-hmm. And so as parents, even of elementary schoolers, we need to be very, very savvy in this world because there's all kinds of yuck going on online.
Yeah, and having the discernment, when you do a training, is there a cost associated with that?
No, I think the only caveat to that is if somebody wants me to go out of town, it's like a 4-hour drive and I probably need to stay overnight just for not having to get up at 2 a.m. to drive. I'd love it if someone would cover a hotel stay and gas, but otherwise, no, there's no training.
Well, and this is prevalent throughout New Mexico and the United States. This is not a unique situation. You know, so many times we like to say, you know, I personally live in Albuquerque because I love Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. I live in New Mexico because I love New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I love the four seasons.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I can go 2 hours, 2.5 hours in any direction and go fishing, mm-hmm. be in the mountains, go mountain biking. Some of the greatest food is in our state.
Yep.
But then there's stuff that you have to deal with. I have 5 children. Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful they're all grown. Mm-hmm. That I didn't have to deal with all of this internet stuff when they were growing up. So I don't, now I have 4 granddaughters, mm-hmm. and I'm just, Lord, please protect them.
Yes.
'Cause you're the only one ultimately that can protect them, but we can be wise.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about some more of those things. So I hope you'll, I think this ABQ Connect will be important for you if you're listening now. Birga's the community relations manager, and I want to have you review, if you would, some of the services, like you have the Harbor Spoken For, Eliza mm-hmm. Jane House, and then you're doing a lot of outreach. Kind of review for us, and maybe we could be a little bit more specific later in the program. What are your programs?
Absolutely. So if you think of New Mexico Dream Center as the kind of master umbrella, the programs I'm going to mention fall under that umbrella. So as a registered 501c, we are called the New Mexico Dream Center, but we have some independent programs underneath that banner. So the first one is the Harbor. The Harbor is our youth drop-in center. That is for really specific to reach and minister to kids that are on the streets or are precariously housed. They do not necessarily have to be victims of trafficking, though we do see that crossover happen quite a bit. So it's a very low barrier entry system. We don't require an ID to come in our doors. We don't even ask for their legal name. If they want to give us, you know, Mickey Mouse as they walk in the door, so be it. We really just want them to come in. We want to establish relationship, and we want there to be a safe space for them to access services.
And Birga, we should talk about that, because a child that is on the street, is it correct for me to assume that there's a pretty good reason for them to be on the street? Like maybe abuse at home, maybe food insecure, maybe just terrible poverty, maybe they were abused in a foster care. I mean, there's reasons that they don't want to be at home.
For sure. One of the things that I think is the most shocking when we start to have this conversation is here in New Mexico, it's legal to run away at the age of 14.
It's legal?
Legal to run away at the age of 14. However, you cannot access services at the age of 14. You cannot apply for food stamps. You can't check yourself into a hotel or a motel. You can't get any type of governmental assistance. And so if you think about a child who at the age of 14, something has happened, whether it's at the home, maybe they've come out of a foster care system, maybe they have left some other environment, but in whatever, for whatever reason, they find themselves alone at the age of 14, they can't get access to any of the basic necessities that they need. And so because of the high degree of vulnerability for that young population, specific 14 to 18, that's why we have the Harbor. We want to have this space that kids can come in, they can shower, they can do laundry, they can get food. And when they're ready to share their story, when they're ready to trust us with a piece of information that maybe has left them very vulnerable, then we can begin to talk about getting them access to services and some case management. But we have learned that it has to be on their time frame. You don't have a, you know, 14-year-old who's been roughing it on the streets for 6 months come in and say, oh, you look trusted, let me tell you my backstory. It takes a long time to establish relationship. And so that's, we're in it for the long game.
If you're listening to the radio today, so glad you joined us here on ABQ Connect. Birga Alden is the Community Relations Manager for the New Mexico Dream Center. And as she's talking, I want you to think about the fact that they're providing services to these children mm-hmm. for free. But we know services, you have a staff, you sure. have overhead. So I'm hoping that there'll be people that are called both to volunteer, mm-hmm. maybe to get involved somehow. maybe financial support, whatever way. And again, go to the nmdreamcenter.org. Mm-hmm. That's the website. It'll describe all kinds of things that are going on there. I can't help but think, as you were just describing that a young person might be afraid that you're going to send them back mm-hmm. to a bad situation. And right. that's just not going to happen.
Right. Go ahead. Did you have a follow-up?
No, I want you to kind of, I guess I want a person that might be afraid that you're going to send them home. I want you to give them some confidence about how this relationship works.
Yeah.
You don't just wait for them to come for the harbor either. And this is the part that really makes me uncomfortable. Mm. I go into dad mode. Mm-hmm. You have two young women on your staff that go out on Friday nights. Mm-hmm. I'm talking on the streets of Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't go on in the areas where they go. And I'm a 6'7", 250-pound man. Not that that's any big deal, but I just get scared that they're on the street. But they are out seeking young people
yeah.
that are on the streets of Albuquerque and bringing them into the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And I will say we have really strong relationships with some of our community partners and some of our law enforcement agencies. And so very recently we had a in-building meeting with the Special Victims Unit with APD. That is a relationship that we really, really want to nurture and develop because of that very reason. So if you've got somebody out doing street outreach and there's a situation that needs police involvement, we need to know who to call, right? I mean, many, many times it's going to be just a straight 911 call, but sometimes it's complicated, it's ongoing, it's involved, and you need the officers that have had training around human trafficking to respond. And so a big part of what we do is really being intentional with reaching out with our community partners, with our law enforcement agency. Albuquerque Community Safety is another one that we're really getting to forge great relationship with. I'm pleased to say that the last three academies that they have had of people that have been going through the process of going through the onboarding steps with ACS, we have come in and done a human trafficking 101 course with them, so that as they're out dealing with calls around encampments or people that are, you know, intoxicated on the roads or whatever the case may be, they've had that education piece. They know some of those things to look out for. So inevitably, they're the ones that are on the streets all the time, right? I mean, our outreach team goes a couple times a week at best, but we really want to have eyes all over the community to say, hey, I know what I'm looking for now, and this is a situation that I think needs some specialty involvement. And so I'm really pleased to say that we've got those strong relationships within the community partners.
Well, I know you're working very closely with Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department.
Yep.
I know you also work with the AG's office mm-hmm. of the state of New Mexico. And again, if you're listening, maybe you live in Cannon Air Force Base, Alamogordo, Clovis, and you may not have a program like this. I'm telling you right now, Birga and Shelley Rep and yeah. other parts of their staff will help you.
Yeah. To address people that are outside of Albuquerque proper, absolutely. This is talking about like kind of how God wired us and my heartbeat. My heartbeat is all around building infrastructure and networks of things that are going to change a community for the good. And so one of the projects that I'm involved in is up in the Gallup area. There is a newly forming human trafficking task force. And part of the work with that is learning who are the agencies that are on the ground. And maybe they are domestic violence shelters. And this is a part that we could help bring in education and resources around to kind of expand their offerings. We as a staff cannot be all places in the state, but we can absolutely make sure that we get education out and we can share resources as best as we're able. And so I would love it. You know, our banner name is New Mexico Dream Center. I would love it if we have that fingerprint in all parts of our state because we've been intentional about building relationship.
We're with Birga Alden. She's the Community Relations Manager for the New Mexico Dream Center. We've talked about the harbor as one of your services. Mm-hmm. After this break, we'll talk about Spoken For, the Elijah Jane House, and maybe mention some of the other ways that you outreach.
I'd love to.
We've got a lot to talk about in terms of minor domestic sex trafficking, mm-hmm. extremely prevalent throughout the United States. And in New Mexico, I've shared this before, maybe when you were on the air with Shelley, I never could have imagined.
Yeah.
I knew that there was like prostitution, mm-hmm. but I never thought that there'd be a 15-year-old that's actually being trafficked. And when you bust the trafficker, they're going to blame it on her for being a prostitute, and they don't even get prosecuted. I mean, these things really bother me.
Right.
So I hope that people will pray. I hope that people will see the prevalence of the problem and want to get involved, because you can love people out of this all day long, can't you?
Yep. But there's a whole lot more that needs to be done, too.
Yeah. We'll be back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Birga Alden is the Chief Communication Officer for the New Mexico Dream Center. NMDreamCenter.org is their website. You can email them at info@dreamcenter.org or give them a call at 505-900-3833. Birga, you started talking about the harbor a little bit. That's a place where people, young people can drop in.
Yep.
They can, they're not going to immediately be turned into the authorities or anything else.
Right.
I am kind of shocked that you said it is legal, L-E-G-A-L, for somebody to run away from home at 14, but you're not really allowed by law to provide shelter, and they can't, you know, buy things. I mean, so it, that's an odd... I'm thinking as you're listening, maybe pray about, hey, there's got to be something congruent about the way the law works. Now, I will also say, if you're in a terrible situation, there's people that will help you.
Yeah.
And if you're in a terrible situation right now and you just want to call the Dream Center, they have very close relationships with people that are very professional about dealing with all of this, from law enforcement to legal to you name it. If you're in a bad situation, get some help, because there's a lot of people that want to help you. And I don't think it's a matter of affording it. It's a matter of just doing it. Protect yourself and get yourself out of that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's some really beautiful things that happen at the harbor, and I know it's hard to talk about. It's hard to imagine kids on the street. It's hard to imagine the vulnerability and the exploitation they face. But the reason we're there really is to be that safe landing space and to develop relationship. And we have had kids that have come into our space that they've shown up every day that we're open, right? They begin to develop that sense of trust. They begin to talk with a case manager. They begin to listen to how they might develop a safety plan for themselves with some trusted adults, and then to consider what are next steps for their lives. And so we absolutely have had the benefit of having individuals that have come in through the harbor as the drop-in center go through kind of that process of relationship building, getting case management, and then getting to a place where they can be provided housing, they can be provided stabilization, they can develop a plan. Are they going to go back to school? Are they going to go on some sort of a career enrichment path or some sort of a trades training? Are they going to go into some just entry-level work where they just need to earn some money and figure out how to adult, right? That's a big piece of this, is just learning how to be on your own. How do you care for yourself? How do you survive after you've had things happen to you? And so, you know, we've had some really beautiful stories that have been birthed out of just being available, having the doors open and having individuals come in and know that we are a trusted organization.
Some simple things that we might think are simple, but others may not. Let's say you're 17 years old, so you might be a junior or senior in high school, but you're on the street, haven't been in school, probably isolated. If you're trading sex for food or whatever, you're being trafficked.
Yep.
I've even heard of familial trafficking, which is just horrifying, where a family will traffic their own child.
Yeah.
So if you're in any of those situations, call the New Mexico Dream Center, 505-900-3833, or you can drop by. What is the, do you know the address of the harbor off the top of your
head? 126 General Chenault.
Okay, and that's near the intersection of Zuni and Central in Albuquerque.
Yeah, and I know that's a little confusing because typically those run parallel, but there's a point at which Zuni bends around and touches around. Central. Yeah, so if you head north from that intersection, it's a stoplight. We are on General Chenault, just about a half a block north of Central.
I'll tell you how old I am, Birga, is there used to be the Terrace Drive-In Theater, which was the most popular drive-in right at that, right there at where Zuni curves in. And I think it's all developed now, but... you know, I've been around Albuquerque for a pretty long time. In fact, there was nothing built east of Wantabo when my parents built the house. They were the first house east of Wantabo. I mean,
that's amazing.
It's nuts. It was all dirt. I want to talk about, we talked about the Harbor. You also have a program called Spoken For. What is that about?
So Spoken For is our case management program for those that have screened in as victims of human trafficking. And that could be sex trafficking or it could be labor trafficking. But that provides a case manager to walk with you through the process of figuring out how you're going to overcome some of your barriers that you've had, maybe receive counseling, receive services of whatever variety are necessary, get housed, provide stability, and to be able to stand on your own 2 feet. And that is a months long at minimum, if not years long journey. And so I don't want to pretend it's a 30-day program and everybody's good to go after, you know, you tick off those 30 days. This really, I've said it before, this is the long game for all of these programs.
Okay, but here's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that as a negative. You're saying to me, we will invest in you.
Yes.
If you need us to do this for you, we'll walk with you through the process.
That's right. That's what it's about. It's having somebody to partner with you to say, you matter, we're not giving up. And even if you have situations that happen that maybe you revert to some old behaviors, you revert to some old habits, we're not throwing you out of the program. We're going to stick with you. We want to see you succeed.
What are some of the ways our listeners can engage with the New Mexico Dream Center?
So there's tons of opportunity to be involved at your level of comfort. So you mentioned at the first segment about street outreach. If somebody wants to go do street outreach, that absolutely is a possibility. We also have direct client interaction. Again, all of these would require some degree of training, HIPAA compliancy, a lot of those things that we need to, you know, dot our I's and cross our T's as far as we are as an organization. But if,
by the way, yeah, we should mention that.
Yes.
You mentioned HIPAA.
Yeah.
So if you're a young person, you go to the Harbor, your case and all the things that you share personally are not going to be shared with anybody else.
No.
It's all treated as confidential, your situation. It's all about you. Now, you might have a couple of people that you ask to be involved in your life. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, the young ladies that do the outreach,
yeah,
you might want to talk to them. Maybe they'll give you a way to contact them,
mm-hmm,
and so on and so forth. But as the relationship builds, you're really the one that directs that, not the Dream Center.
Yeah, as the person participating in the,
yes,
program,
mm-hmm,
yes, absolutely. It we've acknowledged it has to be at their pace and at their comfort level, because for us to dictate a program, you know, at day 7, this is what we want you to be doing behavior wise, at day 14, here's what we need. It's just not practical. It's not feasible. And it absolutely does not match up with the life experience of someone who's been highly traumatized. And so, yes, the individual who is going through the program really does drive the pace.
I've heard of leash drugs and other kinds of ways that traffickers take a child that's on the street. I'm sure a person doesn't go on the street and say, yeah, I'm going to go into prostitution. I don't think that's really their life goal.
Right. Right.
But what happens is somebody else, they don't have a way to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on their own, and a trafficker will say, oh, are you on your own? Well, let me give you a nice place to sleep, give you a safe place to be. And then 2 days later, they're asking you to do this or that in exchange for food and so on and so forth. And it just builds,
yeah,
to where you're under control. Leash drugs really scare me, because basically they're making you an addict,
mm-hmm,
and then manipulating you. So I can't help but think about how the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
So the New Mexico Dream Center is about getting people away from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing them into safety where God can do all kinds of miraculous things.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd ask about people being involved. Yeah, if somebody has a gifting, maybe they're a skilled musician or an artist, and they're just willing to give some of their time and they're teaching their talent to somebody who is in that process of healing and recuperation. You know, it's just having that safe environment with somebody who's willing to just sit alongside, to care, to invest a little bit of their life into somebody that can make a tremendous difference. And so there are limitless ways to get involved. And I know this is a scary topic and it's very intimidating. And sometimes it is very traumatic and people feel like, I don't even want to touch that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can always get involved with things like doing a product drive. Maybe you work at a bank or a business and maybe you collect toiletries for us, or you collect, you know, non-perishable food items. Those are great ways to help where you don't have to have necessarily the direct exposure to some of the stuff that we're doing. So lots of opportunity for believers to invest themselves in whatever that looks like, time, talent, or treasure, right into this program and to really be an active part of helping change somebody's life.
Let me give you a couple real examples right here from the radio station. So I had a woman retired. She had lost her husband. I think she was mid-80s. And she called the station and said, look, I heard you talking to the folks from the New Mexico Dream Center. And my husband collected T-shirts from every sports team imaginable.
Oh, how cool.
What was funny is... I went up to her house. She asked me to come up to her house and pick them up. She gave me, I thought I was going to pick up like 20 T-shirts. Mm-hmm. She gave me 20 boxes.
Oh, my.
There wasn't a T-shirt that had been worn more than once. Mm. I mean, these were brand new, mm-hmm. folded perfectly. What a collection.
Oh, yeah.
I dropped those off at the Dream Center, and Shelley said they were, you know, just... bringing joy to people's faces because they had something nice. And think about a young person.
Yeah.
They don't have clothes
Yep.
if they're on the street. And so if you could bring something even new mm-hmm. or very lightly used, yeah. that's going to be a real blessing. But if you're like me, I'm 66 years old and I've got some leftover clothes from 1980. That's not really
not too helpful.
That's not going to help because the kids are going to
not wear it.
They're not going to wear it, and they're going to be embarrassed. So you get the idea. Our heart is to bless them.
Yeah.
And so think about that. Here's one other one. Retirement community. Woman calls me up and says, "Man, I am." Collecting toiletries. Mm. I went to several of my neighbors in this community and I said, hey, we're looking for toothbrushes. We're looking for toothpaste. Yeah. We're, you know, stuff like that. And I mean, she put together several boxes and you guys came to the church and picked it up and used it. And you have bags for people
yes.
that you give them, when you're just trying to establish relationships, waters and other things mm-hmm. contained in it.
Yeah, the travel-sized toiletries we go through so often. I mean, we burn through those things all the time because not only do we do the street outreach that you mentioned, but we'll also partner up with other organizations. And we'd had a longstanding relationship with the Title I program with APS. And so, yes, those care packages, those care bags get made sometimes by the hundreds, and those will be pretty quickly distributed. And so for anybody who has an interest in doing some sort of a collection, both food or toiletries, those are fantastic things to bring to us, or we're happy to go pick those up because we use them all the time.
I love that. Berga Alden is the Chief Communications Officer for the New Mexico Dream Center. Their website is nmdreamcenter.org. Their phone number is 505-900-3833. So more information, obviously, today in our program. Mm-hmm. We're going to have you for another half an hour, but we can't cover all of it. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Eliza Jane House, and that's a pretty new part of your ministry. We'll be back after these messages. Berga Alden is the Chief Communications Officer for the New Mexico Dream Center. She's in studio with me, Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Berga, I understand that you just recently put together a listening group.
Yeah.
And you were kind of, I guess, seeking some input on how you can get young people involved with the ministry. What did you learn?
So, first off, I had a huge turnout, which I wasn't expecting, and I was so thankful for. I thought maybe I'd get, you know, four or five people that were interested in having this conversation. But we had posted on our our Instagram account, and I had sent out through a listserv that we had access to, just thinking, I want community voices. I want people that are working in other nonprofit spaces to help speak into this. Like, how prevalent is sex trafficking for minors? What are they seeing? What are their experiences? And so we had, I think, 25 people show up. It was a really hearty, robust group, and we had some great conversation. But the thing that I think gets me most excited is we all recognize that reaching youth has to be in a voice of a youth, right? You know, me at 46 years old and the great ideas that I think I have that are going to be impactful to somebody that's 15 or 16 years old, give me a break. You know, my kids are older than 15 and 16 at this stage. And so we really need the voices of that age group to start to develop programming around how do we make an impact? How do we do education well? How do we do outreach well? And so it was such an encouraging conversation. And we are going to meet again as a group, as a listening group. We're going to try to meet now once a month. And there was two things that really came out of that conversation that I'm pretty jazzed to see if we can get off the ground. First off, was the conversation about hosting a youth summit. So back, I don't know, maybe pre-COVID, I'm not sure exactly what the time frame was, there used to be a big sex trafficking conference or human trafficking conference that the AG's office would put on. But things have changed, you know, administrations have changed, et cetera. And that's not something that is happening on an annual basis anymore. But there was, the idea was generated like, well, what if we were to do a youth conference and what would that look like? And so I think a lot of the agencies that were sitting at the table for this conversation really, like that really resonated with them. And so first off, I want to have some conversation with some 15 and 16 year olds and say, hey, if we were going to put something like this together, would you come? And what would you want to hear? What would you want to learn? Who would be speakers that would impact you? You know, who would you want to hear from in order to make this worth your time?
Can I interrupt?
Please.
One second? I'm thinking about a 15 or 16 year old. And sometimes we talk about a 15 or 16 year old like they're a 15 or 16 year old.
Which they are. Yeah.
Well, but what I mean by that is we don't ascribe as much importance to the ministry and to working with other people. Mm-hmm. And a 15 or 16 year old or a 13 or 14 year old, et cetera, can have a profound effect on person's life. And maybe young people don't see how God will work through them.
Yeah. I'll tell you, just speaking directly to that, you know, let's say we've got a 16 year old listening right now. Say, what in the world do I have to do with any of this? If you go to school and you sit next to somebody who seems to be very isolated, if you are just observant of the people that are around you and you see changes that happen, maybe somebody who is really quiet and conservatively dressed all of a sudden is dressing much more provocatively or having lots of makeup on, you as just somebody being very observant in that situation could be a voice of huge impact and influence into your peer's life, because you noticing a change like that and addressing it, not in a condemning way or a judgmental way, but saying, hey, I noticed you kind of changed your look. You know, and maybe starting to ask some well thought through questions and prompting some conversation maybe could stop something in its tracks before it gets derailed.
And it might even be as simple as saying, hey, you hungry?
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Go buy them a lunch.
Yeah.
And of course, obviously get your parents involved. But I think a lot of people need love and care right now. And you might not think... You know, you might not think, oh, that's, you might be thinking in your mind, oh, that's for adults. Oh, no, no, no. This is all, and so can you have young people volunteer with your organization also?
Yes, with some caveats, you know, in that as well. So certainly depending on what it is that they're doing, we would need to have some conversation about if they could volunteer independently or if it needs to be with a parent or guardian. But as we're talking about Youth Summit development, I absolutely, like, I would relish a phone call or a voicemail or a email or whatever from somebody saying, hey, I would like to get involved in that because I need somebody in the age group that we're trying to reach to help develop something like it. Because like I said, I don't think of myself as an old fogey, but I think I am to that generation anymore. And so I need the voices of the generation that we're trying to reach to be able to help to craft the best program that we can.
Well, you know, here at KLYT, we'll help you promote that youth summit should that come to fruition, and obviously continue to have that conversation. We've talked about the harbor. We've talked about spoken for and case management and how that gradually develops. You're not forcing that on anybody. Again, I want people to be comfortable that might be in dire situations. Maybe there's a 12-year-old. They're just terrified to be returned to a bad situation. Mm-hmm. They can be involved with New Mexico Dream Center, have some help, some assistance without getting turned over back to where you came from kind of thing.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is maybe it's simple. Maybe it's a fight between parents and a child, which is completely normal.
Sure.
And once you have some conversation about it, maybe there can be reconciliation. So I don't want to, you know, but again, you're going to leave it up to the child and to really help them. parents obviously need training to mm-hmm. recognize this. You just mentioned a few things that you might, a student, a 15, 16-year-old might notice in another student. Mm-hmm. There are things that you can train parents, teachers, administrators to notice happening in kids' lives to where they can speak into their lives and not wait.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, simple things like observing if a student is continuously falling asleep, right? Why is a child maybe at 10 o'clock in the morning continuously falling asleep? Could be really boring lecture style. We got to make room for that, right? But, you know, is there something more? Is that child up at night? And if they're up at night, why? Is it simply like they're playing video games all night long? Or is there more to the story, right? It just takes the beginning stages of observation and then knowing how to respectfully probe just a little bit to not make somebody uncomfortable, but to share that notion of like, hey, I care. I see that there's something going on and I want to be a help if I can. And so, yes, it starts from observation is the first line of defense.
What is the Eliza Jane House?
Sure. So this is one of the things that is both a negative and a positive, and it makes me really proud to work for this organization. So Shelley has been really good to say that we have learned through our mistakes in some areas, and the Eliza Jane House is really an example of correcting mistake. So we talked about the Spoken For program and case management and independent living. But what happens is if somebody is still attached to their trafficker, whether it's because that trafficker is their drug supplier, there's some sort of a trauma bond that is there. If somebody is pulled out of a trafficking situation and equipped with an apartment before that bond is broken, the chances of us doing more harm than good is pretty high. And what I mean by that is the trafficker may be contacted within a few hours because there's an addiction issue, or because maybe they share a child together. Maybe there's some other point of connection. So we think we're paying for an apartment of a victim, and then all of a sudden the trafficker has moved into an apartment with them. And not only have we re-endangered the victim, but we've now put other people in the complex in danger. And so when that lesson got learned, Shelley was very intentional about learning from organizations that were doing things differently and getting education around what else can be done. How do we handle this better? And so the Eliza Jane House is what I would almost consider an in-between program. So for somebody who's not yet ready for independent living, but needs to be pulled out of a trafficking situation, that is what the Eliza Jane House is there for. So every...
And by the way, we don't give the address or anything.
Oh, no.
Because... the traffickers are not happy about you pulling
correct
these young people out of their control.
Correct. So for the Eliza Jane House specifically, it's an 8-bedroom home. And with the exception of one room, which is considered a family room, every room is one person per room. So it's not like dorm style living where you would have two to four people in a room. It's one person per room. And we do that very specifically and intentionally. First off, we want them to learn a sense of independence as they have their own space, but they're still under the care of a supervisor 24 hours a day as part of a group home setting. So they're going to learn how to cook meals out in the kitchen as there's some common meal prep. They're going to learn some responsibilities as they all collectively help take care of the house and the responsibilities. But they also have the privacy and the security of their own space. They have a little safe in their room so they can store their own documents or they can store their medication. They have their own closet because we know that being able to say this stuff is mine and I'm going to care for my stuff is important. And it's a part of learning how to stand on your own. And so the Eliza Jane House is beautiful aesthetically. It is such a lovely space to walk into and it feels like a home. But it's beautifully furnished, beautifully decorated. When we first opened, we had different churches or different volunteer groups adopt a room, and the individuals would decorate it according to what they wanted. So, you know, one's kind of a nautical theme, one's kind of a botanical theme, one's more bohemian. And so every room has its unique flavor and personality. But it's a beautiful space to do wraparound care for somebody that needs to be under the guidance and kind of watchful eye of a house supervisor before they're ready for independent living.
The Bible talks about Christians having freedom in Christ. Mm. And so many times, I know when people have not read the Bible, because they'll say things to me like, well, the Bible's all about all these perfect people leading perfect lives, and I just don't have an interest in that because I'll never be perfect. And I look at them and I literally say, you've never read the Bible, have you? Because that's not what the Bible's about. The Bible's about all of us are flawed. All of us are injured. All of us have sin. And the only way for us to escape that and be free is to receive Christ and his forgiveness. So I bring that up because this is not a go to the Eliza Jane house and do whatever you want. This is some hard work.
Sure. There's rules. There's curfews.
And you might have, you might have been drug addicted by your trafficker. So you got to get some other help.
Yep.
But the whole thing I want to make the point of is that this is a community with the New Mexico Dream Center that is going to walk through it with you.
Yes.
And love you and be there for you and take care of you. And you have had great outcomes. You've had people prospering now in the community that were trafficked at one time.
Yeah. If you need a boost to think there is hope in this world and there are some success stories, come to the Breakfast of Champions. We have that every fall. But man, there has been some beautiful stories that have been highlighted as part of our event, the Breakfast of Champions. And I remember one of the first years that I ever attended, well before I was on staff, was the story of a young woman who started sleeping on playgrounds when I think she was 13 years old. And living the life on the streets and all of the things that happened to her. We won't go into that story, but eventually she got connected with New Mexico Dream Center, got connected with resources and programming. She ended up graduating, is now a registered nurse, is thriving, is a mother to her child, and just living life in fullness and abundance because she has been truly set free from a lot of the stuff that happened to her in her past. And she has given a tremendous testimony. And there's, you know, many other stories like that. But we're so thankful when we get the opportunity to see that huge level of success. Somebody from childhood on the streets, exploited, all of the horrible things that you can think of, to being an adult and choosing to give back in our community. I don't know that there's anything more beautiful.
The Chief Communications Officer for the New Mexico Dream Center, Berga Alden, is in studio, and we're going to have one more segment with her. We hope you'll stay with us. We're going to talk more about training that's available and that outreach from the New Mexico Dream Center. We'll be back after these messages. Berga Alden is the Chief Communication Officer for the New Mexico Dream Center. She's been with us the whole hour. Thanks for giving us all that time.
Thank you for giving the time.
Well, I want people to think about, how can they help? Mm-hmm. Obviously, and I say this almost every show, we're here just to give you the information. Mm-hmm. If God puts on your heart this is something you should give to, please give. You provide all of the services that we've talked about today for free to the people, but we know that it's not free. It costs you something, and the ministry really needs that support.
Sure.
But volunteers, I think, are amazing. I kind of want to ask you about, let's say that you're a church group, and maybe you have a Bible study once a week, and you're thinking about, gosh, I wonder if we could be involved. Could you train 10 people to do outreach with you on a Friday night?
Yeah. The short answer is yes. The longer answer is, depending on the level of engagement that you want to have with us, more and more training is required. And I don't say that as a means to scare anybody off, but if you're going to really do direct client work, it requires about 8 hours of training because there's lots of things that have to be covered. Everything from understanding trauma responses, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but then getting into the less fun topics like HIPAA compliance, right? We mentioned that earlier. So because we work with a very vulnerable and traumatized population, there is a lot of training that goes into it for those that want to do direct client engagement, but there are much less demanding training opportunities for somebody that's going to just do things like tabling events or out in the public doing some sort of an outreach where it's not directly interacting with clients.
And you're going to also offer training, or you do currently, to school administrators, to teachers, and maybe they have not had that kind of training as they've gone through their educational credentialing.
Yeah. I have done a number of training sessions with staff at charter schools. You know, getting into APS proper is another thing altogether, as you can imagine, with MOUs and all of that. But if you run a club, an after-school club or an in-school club, or if you have some flexibility or freedom to bring in a guest speaker, I would be delighted to do that at your level of comfort and depending on the age range that you work with. So whether it be for the administrators, whether it be for the teachers, or if we've got somebody listening who works directly with students, want to talk about what that looks like to have that age-appropriate type of engagement, because yes, we do all types of training and outreach within the community based on need and age.
You know, I'm going to use my daughter as an example. I have a daughter that master's degree, works for Sandia National Laboratories, but she's also the dance coach at Hope Christian School.
Mm.
Well, those young ladies could use some training, couldn't they?
Sure.
Yeah, because they need to be able to recognize, and maybe it's obvious to some people, but this is really a wolf in sheep's clothing kind mm-hmm. of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. One of the elements of a training program that we have that, again, I want to be cautious to not leave everyone spooked and feeling like there's a trafficker behind every rock. That's not my intention. But I do want to say a trafficker can be anyone from any walk of life. And I think that's something that we need to be aware of. And just the more education, the better, so that we know facts and it's not going based on a Hollywood sensational movie or a depiction that has happened. So this particular training element has a series of, I think, 9 or 12 photographs of individuals and a little bio about them. So one is a probation officer. One is a school counselor. One is a coach. One is a pastor. One's a cheerleader. One is a social worker, right? So it's these pictures of faces and the little bios. And part of the training that we go through, we say, okay, of this group of people, who do you think is a trafficker? Right? We get people's responses, and they sometimes will make a judgment based on appearance. Sometimes they'll make a judgment based on what the description is of the individual. But then the shocking element at the end of it all is every single one of those photographs were individuals that were charged with human trafficking. Mm-hmm. Like, those are actual photos of the actual people who were charged with the crime. And I bring up cheerleader because you just mentioned, you know, Hope mm-hmm. Christian. And so there are situations, as hard as it is to hear, that you will have high school students recruiting vulnerable high school students because they're making money from somebody else simply by alerting them to the fact, like, hey, this person doesn't ever seem to sit with anybody else at lunch. They're a loner. They're kind of disliked. And by identifying vulnerable people within their own school, they get paid for that information, and then the trafficker knows who to target. And so education has to be had. We have to be aware that this is something that is in every population. And again, not to be spooked so that you're thinking that there's danger behind every tree, every rock. That's not what my emphasis is. But just when we're armed with knowledge, we know how to respond.
So if you're interested in getting trained mm-hmm. At whatever level.
Yes.
Who do they call? How do they get in touch with you?
So me is primarily the one who's going to do that. I've got a colleague who will also assist with some of those trainings. But the number that you've given out, the 505-900-3833, is our main office number. And the phone tree will send it over to me and we'll get in touch.
Sounds good. Also, you can send an email, mm-hmm. info@nmdreamcenter.org.
Yes, that'll get forwarded to me as well.
I love that. Is this hard to communicate about? I mean, you're the chief communication officer. This is an uncomfortable subject for most of us.
It is, and I recognize it. It is difficult to talk about, but it is critical to talk about. You mentioned how much you love Albuquerque, how much you love New Mexico. Ditto. I was born and raised here. I'm third generation Albuquerque. I love this place, but I am not ignorant to the darkness that we face here. And so, as hard as it is for these conversations to take place, I know how critical it is, because I want my kids and someday future grandkids to live here, to work here, to thrive here. And I want to see that we've made an impact by the things that we do.
Yeah. And I feel exactly the same way. I mean, every time I see a sunrise or a sunset, mm-hmm. I think, I hope everybody's appreciating this. But then, having gotten to know you guys, I know that there's people seeing that same sunrise. That mm-hmm. that evening is going to be a difficult time for them.
That's right.
But I'm glad the New Mexico Dream Center and God working through your ministry is there to help them.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for the opportunity to share about it.
Good to talk to you, Birga.